Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on,
fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. Hey. A 50 motherfucker, and I love to fucking fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, don't need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pissing. Got an out, chin check, so don't you need an ass for the ticket? That's a ticket. Man, I ain't gonna pay.
Europe, South and Central America, and two tours
in Vietnam. I was assigned to Berlin, Germany. And I was declared one time that I was the only Hispanic American that could speak German with a southern accent. Vielen Dank, danke schön. So I came back and retrained at Fort Bragg. And Vietnam was brewing up. In 1965, I was sent to Vietnam as an advisor to a Vietnamese infantry unit. After a short period of time there, I stepped on a mine. I woke up in the Philippine Islands in Clark Air Force Base. I was paralyzed from the waist down. I was declared never to walk again. I was transferred to Fort Sam Houston, Texas Beach Pavilion. The doctors were initiating my medical discharge papers. But at night, I would slip out of bed and crawl to a wall using my elbows and my chin. My back would just be killing me. I'd be crying. But I'd get to the wall, and I'd set myself against the wall, and I'd back myself up against the wall, and I'd stand there like Elijah the Indian. I'd stand there and move my toes right and left, right. Every single chance I got. I wanted to walk. I wanted to go back to Vietnam because of what the news media was saying about us, that our president was not needed there to burn the flag and what. And I saw a lot of other patients coming back, limbs missing. I wanted to go back. I was determined because I remember when I was taught in jump school, that old master sergeant would tell me, Benavides, quitters never win and winners never quit. What are you? So I'm a winner. And I remember in my special voice. And I remember in my special forces training, one of the training missions that I was on, I remember that my leader would tell me, faith, determination, and a positive attitude. A positive attitude will carry you further than ability. You can do it, Benavides. You can do it. I never forgot those three words. Never. So there I was at night. Slip out of bed. The nurses would catch me sometimes. They would chew me out, give me a pill, sleeping pill, put me to sleep. They would tell the doctors in the morning. I was determined to walk. 9 months later, here comes my medical discharge paper. And I told the doctor, Doctor, look what I can do. He said, Sergeant, I'm sorry. Even if you can stand up, you'll never be able to walk. Jumped out of bed and I stood up right before him. My back was hurting, aching. I was crying. And I moved just a little bit. The doctor said, Benavides, if you walked out of this room, I'll tear the papers up. I walked out of that ward at Beach Pavilion. I walked out with a limp. I went back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I started my therapy again, running 5 or 10 miles a day, doing 1,500 push-ups. And I made 3 parachute jumps in one day. I was ready to go back to Vietnam, physically and mentally ready to go back. My orders were to go to Central America as an advisor. But being a non-commissioned officer and knowing some of the good officers in the right places, my orders were diverted. So I went back to Vietnam in 1968. The latter part of April, I was inserted, my buddy and I, to gather intelligence information behind enemy lines. After 2 days on the ground, my buddy was shot through the eye, the back, and legs. Our mission was complete, but I didn't want to leave my buddy behind. I called in for an extraction helicopter to come and get us out. They came in with the McGuire rig. McGuire rig is nothing but a piece of rope, nylon rope, to hook. In this case, there were 2 ropes. We hooked on, the enemy was firing at us. We pulled up, went up through the canopy of the jungle. Our rope started to twist and rub. You know, nylon, it burns when it rubs. As we cleared the canopy, I rolled them completely, twisted and rubbing. And there was a non-commissioned officer that looked out of the helicopter and was riding as a safety man. And when he saw those two ropes burning, he immediately tied himself with a piece of rope around his waist and he pulled himself out of the helicopter and undid those two ropes, separated them. That's dedication. That's love of fellow man and country. I'll never forget that man. And the enemy was still firing at us, but they never shot us. We landed in a safe spot. My buddy was taken to the hospital shortly thereafter he expired. I was in another staging area waiting for our next assignment. When I heard on the radio something like a popcorn machine, then I heard a voice, "Get us out of here, get us out of here, come in and get us out quick, ASAP." I asked the radio operator, "Who are those?" He said, "I don't know. They haven't gave us any call sign." And I saw some helicopter pilots run to the flight line, scrambling. I ran right behind them. We saw a helicopter coming in, land, and had a door gunner slumped over his weapon. When the helicopter landed, I unstrapped the door gunner, Michael Craig, 19 years old. We just celebrated his 19th birthday in March. I cradled him in my arms, and his last words were, "My God, my mother and father." I asked the pilot, "Who are the people on the ground?" He said, "Hey," he said, "it's that black NCO, that non-commissioned officer saved your life the other day, remember?" I said, "Leroy Rice." Leroy always got picked for top secret assignments, him and Musso and O'Connor. So it was an instant reaction. I saw a bag of medical supplies, picked it up, went over to my helicopter, got on the helicopter. We got on with the forward air controller, the guy saying, he said, "You can't go in there, you can't go in. It's too hot." Little did I know that I was going to spend 6 hours in hell. You heard what the president read, the citation of how I earned the Medal of Honor. But he didn't tell you of what I went through when I engaged in the hand-to-hand combat. I was hitting the mouth with the butt of the weapon. My jaws were locked. After my last return back to the helicopter, when I was boarded on, I was holding my intestines in my hand. We lifted up the helicopter, had it over its payload. Blood was flowing on both sides of the helicopter. When we landed, it locked me in our staging area. And it started unloading, started identifying the bodies. They found out I loaded 3 dead enemy soldiers in that helicopter. I didn't want to leave anybody behind. My mission was to recover the classified material, so if anybody had it, he was on a helicopter. So they let the 3 enemy soldiers on the side, and because I sort of look Oriental, they thought I was one of them, so they let me lay right next to them. And they were putting us in body bags. And I remember my feet being lifted, and I was inserted into the body bag, and I could hear that zipper coming up, and I thought, "Oh, my God, no, no." My eyes were shut because I had blood all over my face and my eyes, and the blood had dried up in my eyelids. And I couldn't talk because my jaws were locked, and I could hear that zipper coming up, and one of my buddies was doing the Mexican head dance, and he was yelling at the doctor, that's Roy Benavidez." The doctor said, "Sorry, there's nothing I can do for him." Oh, my God, the zipper just coming up. I was trying to wiggle in my own blood. And finally, I'll find out later, Jerry Cottingham made that doctor at least to feel my heartbeat. When I felt that hand on my chest, I made the luckiest shot I ever made in my life. I spit in the doctor's face. 100%. I think he'll make it. He'll... So, I was cleaned up, put in a helicopter, alongside with my buddy, one of the guys that I had saved. We got airborne, and I just said to myself, hold on, buddy, just hold on. We're going to get some medical attention. And his grip tightened up on me. And then he let go. I said, oh, God, why do you put me through this test? Why? You helped me get these men out, save them, save this material. Now you take them away from me. Why? And I was crying. I was moving so much that the co-pilot, he happened to look back, and he thought that I was gasping for air. So he gets out of his seat, get his bayonet out, and he's going to do a track on me, and I'm about to kick him out of the helicopter. That's just too much for one day. So we landed in the hospital at Long Bend. I was wheeled to the operating room. And as I was being lifted to my operating table, I saw this nurse on her hands and knees crying, yelling, asking God, why do you do this to these men? Why? Just crying. And as I turned a little bit to my left, I saw on the other operating table a man that had both legs and both arms missing. I passed out. I woke up in the ward. One of my buddies was laying next to me. We were so bandaged up, we couldn't talk. We used to wiggle our toes to make sure that we were still alive. After a short while, my buddy was transferred from there, and I thought he had died. I was transferred to Japan, Tachikawa. And the airplane that I was flying in, medevac, we lost two men. And I remember this nurse kept yelling at me, Benavides, you're not going to die on me. I'm going to pinch you every time you close your eyes. I'm going to pinch you. I'm going to pinch you. Boy, she kept pinching me. When I got to Tachikawa, when I got to Japan, and they wheeled me into the operating room, they disrobed me again. I remember the doctor I heard and said, what in the world happened to you? I had blue spot, red spots all over me, because that lady kept pinching me up there. I went back to Fort Sam Houston to Beach Pavilion, and I stayed in that hospital almost a year. I continued with my career, and then I was awarded with a medal. I was dedicating myself to come and speak to schools, to civic groups, to help anyone that I can help. My life was spared for a reason, and I hope there's a good reason. A lot of people call me a hero. I appreciate the title. But the real heroes are the ones that gave the life of this country. The real heroes are our wives, our mothers. Above all, the heroes are the ones that are laying in those hospitals, disabled for life in those hospital beds. But the real heroes are the future leaders of our country, these students that are staying in school and learning to say no to drugs. Those are our real heroes. You know, there's a saying among us veterans, for those that have fought for it, life has a special flavor that protected will never know. You have never lived till you almost died. And it is us veterans that pray for peace most of all, especially the wounded, because we have to suffer the wounds of war. I'm asked hundreds of times, would you do it over again? In my 25 years in the military, I feel like I've been overpaid for the service to my country. There'll never be enough paper to print the money enough gold in Fort Knox for me to have, to keep from doing what I did. I'm proud of being American, and even prouder. And I'm even prouder that I've earned the privilege to wear the Green Beret. I live by the motto of duty, honor, country. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
What's up there? I got 200 emails to hear that again.
Really?
Really?
Wow, 200 emails.
Yeah.
Aren't you, Mr. Popular?
Hey, you know, that's something that can't be given. It's earned.
I know. That's okay. I like just being quiet. Anyways, so how was the event? Did you have fun? How was the weather?
No, it was in the 80s.
Wow, nice.
Pretty good turnout this year.
Good.
But,
good.
By the time we got there, there were so many people there, they ran out of shirts.
That's okay.
No, they're just making a special. They're making a special deal, just for us.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. So they'll be here, but I haven't got no package from you yet.
I know, my daughter, and they won't be broken. Ugh. Crumbs
okay.
Are just not the same. Oh, that was an awesome picture that you posted up. I won't say anything, but, you know, the one I put a comment on. That was cool. That's a big guy.
The one with what? The one with what?
That's a big guy.
Who's
the
that?
One picture that I put a comment on.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a big guy. I mean, well, it looks that way compared to you.
Yeah, well... That's two stand-up guys right there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who the other one is, but I don't know the one, but he's online. And that's some serious military training that man has. I've seen
yes,
some of those videos and thought, holy cow. So I think they're going to... I don't know if you're aware of it because we still have family here. I don't know if you're aware that there was a Lake County cop shot, but it's all over the news. They're trying to find the shooters and they're going door to door. Kind of sounds something and looks like what took place in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. But it's up in Lake County.
Mm-hmm. Lake County?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all fucked up over there.
Yeah, it actually took place in Fox Lake. Shop.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that kind of stuff going on so much up there.
Yeah. But, someone was supposed to call in tonight. Probably going a little bit. We still got time to go yet. But,
okay.
You know, when I was talking about that the body cameras that the cops will be wearing?
Yeah.
Well, as a reaction to the national news reports about police killings, the California legislature had introduced a flurry of bills designed to provide better oversight of law enforcement officials. In May, Ms. Collin was optimistic about the focus on the long-neglected matter and wondered whether the Capitol was seeing a civil liberties rebound. Legislators who pushed for new oversight and accountability laws warned that they had a tough road to hoe the union. Sure enough, the Centerpiece Oversight Reform, creating policies that regulate the use of police body cameras, has fared poorly. Even before the May article was published, this is the September article, end of August article, legislators allowed a significant body camera bill to be transformed into the opposite of its intent. The San Diego Democratic Assemblywoman Shirley Weber's AB 66 created requirements and guidelines for agencies whose officers use body cameras. Recently, cops are using them, but with standards. But the policies are designed to...
Sorry.
If I got shanghaied by law enforcement who put this bill in the provision that said police had access to the footage before they had to file the report, the general counsel for the California Newspaper Publishers Association, a select group of staffers and lobbyists gutted it during committee recess. The type of hijacking that's brazen even by capital standards. Another body camera bill to provide grant funding to local agencies to implement body camera programs also died over state concerns about the cost.
So... So, with the cameras, they're trying to get it to where they can be implemented, or have they already been implemented?
Some got them, some don't. But if they use the money, if they use all those grants they get for motorcycle safety checkpoints that are no longer valid and they're against the law, since the law was passed in 2012, another guy is from San Dimas, his SB 175 died in recent days over concern that it was he did nothing. It's hard to argue with Weber's published comments calling it anemic. This bill would require each department or agency that employs police officers and that elects to require these peace officers to wear body-worn cameras to develop a policy relating to the use of body-worn cameras, according to its language. One body camera bill is alive, it's AB 69, but it's just as pointless as the Huff bill. It would require law enforcement agencies to consider specified best practices when establishing policies. Body cameras. Supporters of the body cameras say they protect the public and the officer. Many officers initially opposed their use out of fear they would be faced discipline for on-the-job decisions or errant comments, but they found the video record is useful in exonerating them when they are falsely accused of misbehavior. But some key questions need to be answered. Who are the videos released and who can access them? And officers must turn on their cameras. Do police officials or elected policies? In May, a San Diego police officer turned on his camera before fatally shooting a man in the Midway District. Oakland Police Department. The Oakland Police Department tends to release footage to the public, whereas the Los Angeles Police Department will not. While the state shouldn't dictate local policies, it could offer basic standards. It seems clear that videos should be made public whenever there is an allegation of police behavior or a deadly shooting. It shouldn't be released if there's footage involving domestic violence. There are gray areas, such as when a celebrity or a politician gets pulled over and mouths off. It's no different than any other public records issue. The default position should be for public access, except as the California Public Records Act allows when the police or the public interest served by not making the record publicly clearly outweighs the public interest served by disclosure of the record. Sometimes courts will make the final determination, of course, but the state guidelines would help. Meanwhile, a new ACLU poll shows 70% of the public supported the widespread release of body cameras footage and other accountability measures. Even lopsided support for more police accountability can't overcome the opposition of one interest group. I should have known better to give in to the temptation of optimism. It's just going to get worse.
I agree. Don't worry, I'm stepping there and so you won't hear noise. Well, you know, you're the baby. Nothing I can do. But I did find out one thing. If you remember on the last show I was on how the district here is trying to push him off because of his needs. The state's coming in and going at school and letting, or, you know, the main office letting them know if they don't comply, they will take them into court. So, still in the battle, but the state's taking over it now. Because you can't learn anything one day a week for 30 minutes. I'm sorry. So how's your wee one? How's she doing?
We're all doing good.
Good.
She was playing with
playing
with the phone and playing a game on the phone when I bent down to get a kiss and a hug, and she told me, "Not now, I'm busy."
Out of mouth of babe. So how is
Bill's
turn up?
They kind of,
yeah, well, where did she learn that from? Mommy or daddy? Or papa?
Never got an answer.
That's okay. Most of the time she won't. So how did Bill's event turn out? Nice.
Yeah.
Did he have that yet? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday. Or
Sunday. Yeah. I gotcha. So how's the weather been out by you? Hot, like here?
80s and 90s.
Nice. Just like that. Well, I think we're like close to 100 a day. Yeah. There's a booger. Yeah, at first I thought, what the heck is going on here? I can't hear nothing. I'm like, oh, God, they're messing with the show.
Yeah, they do that sometimes.
I know. So you have a special guest that's coming on tonight, or?
We're supposed to be here at 6. I don't know what happened. I haven't, heard from him yet. Thought I would, but he might come in Thursday.
Okay.
I don't want to say not yet, because if he comes, then that'll ruin the surprise.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I understand. I wasn't asking. I just didn't know if you had someone coming in on it.
Well, yeah, I can't be
prepared for it, because otherwise it wouldn't be a surprise now, would it? Too funny. Go ahead.
Well, the father was passing by his son's bedroom, was astonished to see the bed was nicely made and everything was picked up. Then he saw an envelope propped up prominently on it was addressed Dad with the worst premonition. He opened the envelope and read the letter with trembling hands. "Dear Dad, it is a great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with Mom and you. And finding real passion was so nice, but I know you wouldn't approve of her because she has piercing tattoos, tight motorcycle clothes, and she's much older than I am. But it's not only the passion, Dad. We and I will be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. We share a dream of having many more children. Stacy has opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone. We're regrowing it for ourselves and training with other people in the commune. For all the cocaine and ecstasy we want. In the meantime, we'll pray that science will find a cure for AIDS so Stacy can get better. She sure deserves it. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 15 and I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I'm sure, we'll be back to visit so you can get to know your many grandchildren. Love, your son, Joshua. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true when I was ever at Jason's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than the school report that's on the kitchen table. Call me when it's safe to come home. Thanks, Junior."
That's a good one. So you're still working crazy hours?
Yeah. Yep. A lot of shit going on.
It's par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
So what upcoming events are taking place that you can say?
No, all the ones I can't talk about are the ones that are going to happen.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sometimes there are ones that you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, once they send me the flyers, then I'll be able to say something. But for right now, no.
Right. So, how are there any different things coming into play in California law?
That, well, everything that they had for that, they're fucking stopped in committee. You know, but when you buy from a small... You know, when you buy from a small business, you're not helping a still buy a third vacation home. You're helping a little girl get a dance lesson, a little boy gets his team jersey, mom puts food on the table, and the dad pay a mortgage or a student pay for college. So remember to support them small businessmen.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many, you know, mom and pop places anymore, but there are places that you can purchase things online that are made in America instead of made in China or wherever, which
mm-hmm.
helps here. Nice look house. It's nice to walk and you come across things made in America anymore, unless those two you go online and purchase it. Or, you know, the little mom and pop stores. Those are really nice to go into.
Yeah.
You know? Back in the day, of course, when you were out this way, when they used to have the Ben Franklin's, you can sit there and go and pick up an LP for dirt cheap. Or like a 45, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was a store where you could pretty much almost get it all, including the penny candy. Woohoo! But everything changes, and there used to be one not far from me, but years ago they closed that up. I don't know why. They used to get a lot of business. Unless if it just didn't have the revenue that it should have. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this guy was shot in April. He had a history of mental illness. And I remember I told you about when I read the serv for the body camera bills. This guy this guy got out of the car and forgot to turn on his camera. And he shot this guy around midnight in an alley off Hancock Street on April 30th. So the family filed a lawsuit for wrongful death. The suit says investigators allowed the cop that shot the guy and his attorney to review a video of the shooting captured by a private security camera before being interviewed by the homicide detectives. The shooting is third in large part because this guy did not activate body-worn camera in violation of department policy. This guy was sent to investigate reports of a man with a knife in the area. Said this guy was holding an shiny object, later revealed that it was a pen. The suit says told investigators he saw no weapons. Lawson says that security footage shows quite a feet away from where he was shot, more than 10 to 12, 15 feet away that police have described. It also says was interviewed for a few hours after the shooting, but that it was stopped after a police union lawyer intervened and he was not interviewed again for another 5 days. He has since been returned to full duty. The new complaint names the chief and accuses her of allowing cover-up. So every time we turn around, somebody's got a cover-up. Here we're here.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. You want to hear something good? I find it unreal. The town I grew up in, okay, it was actually back in 06. It was a high-profile murder that took place in that town. It was someone I grew up with, and someone had like a reward thing going on and everything, and the family did. So anyways, someone had given, you know, information that led to, you know, the conviction of who was involved in that murder. And the funny thing is, the person later, because they were scared to come forward because, you know, of who was charged and who they were related to in that town. And it was actually funny because he had sat there and made a call, like, you know, inquiring about, you know, that reward. And you know what they told him? To call the police department.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you crazy? That would be the way. They would call. Hello? Have you ever heard of anything so ridiculous? Like a police department is a bank and it's got to hold something, you know? Gotta love this state. Unreal. And, you know, they're talking about putting up, like, the interest rates on loans, mortgages, stuff like that for an all-time high in this state. And in a couple of towns not far north of me, some of them have already implemented this high insane tax on mortgages, and there's a lot of vacant houses. Hello, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, the land of the crooked government. Well, in this state anyway. I'm sure other states have it, maybe just not as high profile as here. But
yeah. Some people ask me why I never went back there. Because I probably would have ended up in an 8x10 room for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but I mean, when you come to see family, that's different. It's not like you're staying, you know. A pop in and out is different than, you know, wanting to relocate from where you're at back here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, just think of how many people you could shock and off. What? Oh, God. But you know, the saddest thing is, whoever you grew up with, and this is how I look at it, you have a certain percentage, they're dead. The other percentage are in jail. The other percentage is you can't find them because they don't want to be found. And the other ones are okay. And then you have the other ones that are same from when you were a kid. Nothing changes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you go to 809 South Illinois Street in Streeter, Illinois, you can go to the Take a Bite Out of Hunger on September 26th.
Then it's about an hour south of me. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's about an hour south of me.
That's our friends over there. This was it was just sent to me.
There you go. A little bit helps. I'm wondering. Yeah, I think it's the same time. Yes. If memory serves me correct, that's the same town that there's about one in every three or four houses of pedophiles. It's a very high pedophile kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. No.
Well, you know, today is National, I don't give a, is National Fuck It Day.
Yeah, I said that quite often today. Didn't even know
so
it was National Day for it.
Yeah, I think we'll let our, buddy here sing this song. Here you go. I'll be right back. I think, let me see who this is.
I love that song.
760.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, who's this?
It's Kenny. Big Kenny up in Montana.
What's up, dude?
Nothing. What are you guys doing?
Not much.
Are we on the air?
Yeah. You're live right
now.
No
way. Awesome,
yeah.
Man. Yeah, I seen the thing you guys are doing now down at the shop and stuff. I hadn't called in, checked in with you guys for a while. Let you know what I've been up to.
Well, you got the floor. Go for it.
Oh, I do. Well, check this out. Me and my wife are back together again.
There
you go. She has a child.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm living in Montana. And, she's going to NA meetings, and everything's doing really good, man.
Good for you. Good for both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. How'd that event go?
Oh, everything was good. We were down in Mexico for the Silver Angels 49th anniversary party Saturday. And then we rolled back, and one of my crazy comments got me sent to the secondary checkpoint for an hour and a half.
Well, Bill was behind me, and the guy in front of me, they sent him too. And then when I got back there, at that moment, at that little booth, and the guy makes me get off my bike and open my bags, and he wanted to see what was in my bags. And then he goes, "Oh, you only got 2 packs of cigarettes?" And I'm like, "What? What the fuck do cigarettes have to do with me coming to my country, you know?" So, yeah, so an hour and a half, I'm sitting there, and the next thing I know, you know, guys come up, they're looking for this car. They can't find, they lost the car. A car full of illegals.
No way.
Wait, dude, they couldn't find them. They didn't know where they went or what they were doing. And,
right.
Yeah. So,
God.
It's yeah, so then, you know, I'm getting ready, and I'm sitting there for an hour and a half, and you know how, when I first got in there, you know how you're sitting in that line, so your hurley will get real hot, because you got no, actually,
you shut it down, yeah.
I started up after I closed my bag and everything, still hot, so when I get in there, the guy puts his fucking sticker on the front of my headlight. So as I crossed the road and watching the guy hit me with the flashlight with a fucking stop stick, and it's, you know, the stop stick they throw out. So I guess he thought, because I didn't turn right fast enough, he was going to throw the stick at me. And so I sped up a little bit, and the fucking ticket flew off, so I stopped right there. And I'm pointing at this guy, and he goes, "Well, who put that on there? You? Did it fall out of your hand?" I go, "No, he put it on the headlight." I said, "The wind caught it, blew it off, so I stopped." "Well, you can't stop here." "Okay. So where do I go without the sticker, telling him what I'm going in here for? What do I do?" So he bends down, picks it up, he hands it to me. He says, "Go up to the middle and pull in there." So as I go up to the middle, I pull in the guy in front of me, that was in front of me, he's in there. So as I'm pulling in, she tells him he could go, so he takes off. She tells me to move up. So I take my right leg, and I throw it over the tank, and I'm sitting on the seat, like, side saddle, right?
Yeah.
I didn't tell you you could get your bike. I didn't get off my bike. I just threw my leg over the tank. "No, you got off your bike. I saw you. You didn't see me get off the bike. You might have saw the guy in front of me get off the bike and get back on the bike, but you didn't see me get off my bike."
You just straddled it differently.
Yeah. He's like, "Don't argue with me." "What do you mean, don't argue with me? I'm not arguing with you. I'm telling you what happened." So long story short, an hour and a half, they make me sit there, dude.
Man.
So if,
that's not that bad, you know that, right? I mean, there's way worse wait lines in that, you know, coming back from Mexico.
Well, yeah, it was 40 minutes to cross, but the thing was, well, with the group that went with us, if anybody got sent to secondary, we were going to wait for each other at that last Chevron, you know, off San Ysidro Boulevard there on the 805, rather.
Yeah.
So, the only one that waited was Bill. The rest of them
all
got pulled. Oh, yeah, I swear to God. The only one that waited was Bill. And he tried to call me. I went to answer my phone. You thought I was fucking, I had a bomb on me, man. They were on me like a cheap suit. "Oh, you see that sign over there?" "No, I'm facing this way." I can't read the back of that. I can't read the front of that sign because it's pointed. I got the back of it, you know, pointed at me. I see that.
Ah, man.
So I hang up.
Hey,
I'm hanging up. So I held it long enough for him to hear what they were saying to me, and then I hung up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I think that added another maybe 65, 70 minutes to my time sitting there.
Yeah, it never fails, man. It always seems to get you. You know what I mean? I mean, 8 of us deep cruising down Oceanside Boulevard, and they're going to pull you over out of everybody. You know that, right?
Oh, that's happened.
That happened. I know that.
But on New Year's Eve, I was ran into Bill's truck trying to get behind me.
It's crazy. Hey, you know there's somebody's birthdays today.
Yeah.
A friend of ours,
yes.
Big Dave.
Oh, man, he's sorely missed because some of these guys are running him up, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a phone call. Not on the air. That's a phone call.
But, okay, well, just you know, we have a friend that has passed away, and today's his birthday.
But, no, I could tell you about one of the stories. You know, we went down, Bill and I went down to a clubhouse, and so a couple of gentlemen showed up, and one guy was half in the bag and bragging and running his mouth and all kinds of shit. And well, the girl stayed and talked to me and Bill, and then Bill went out after them, and he followed them because Bill and I saw the 10 guys go out the back door, so you know where they were going.
Uh-huh.
So if it wasn't for Bill and I, this individual, they got seriously fucked up for running his mouth at the wrong time.
Yep, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Heard about that. That was a while ago, though, right?
Yeah, but he ain't sight unseen now.
Yeah. No, I've been keeping my distance, but at the same time, you know, I mean, everybody has to tell, like, what's going on and keeping up with what's going on down in San Diego and
yeah, you know,
especially Oceanside.
It's like Peyton Place.
Yeah, it's all drama. It's all drama.
Yeah.
How's your boy doing? Good?
Doing good. He's still doing the heating and air conditioning, and there's a lot of times when he's working with the old timers and he's doing old timer shit, and they go, "Where did you learn that?" And, "Oh, I learned that from my dad."
That's fucking awesome. Where's Bill tonight?
Whenever they say that to him, or you know, ask him, he's got to call me right away.
Oh yeah. Where's Bill at tonight?
He's take care of his mom. Some issues.
Oh no. Oh man. Do make sure you tell him I said what's up too.
Yeah, make his day Thursday. Call in Thursday. He'll be here Thursday.
Yeah, I don't think I bounce on Thursday, so between doing security and working at my little delivery company, you know what I mean? I'm doing about 80 hours a week, but I'm making good money.
Yeah, but
shit, I was living out of my truck for 4 months there in Oceanside, right there by the train tracks, man, when I got back into town because I couldn't find work, remember?
Yeah. No, and you know, the sad part of that is now there's just work for all over the place.
I don't know. It'd be hard to come back. Let's just put it that way, man. I got a two-bedroom, two-bath, two-story house, you know, with a garage for $700 bucks a month out here.
Dude, you happy?
Fuck yeah, I'm happy. Dude, I'm like 20 minutes away from Glacier National Park.
From now on, this is the place to visit. It's like me from when people ask me, how come you didn't move back to Chicago? Because to me now, it's just a nice place to go visit my relatives. That's it.
Yeah. No, I love living in Oceanside, man. There's no doubt. It just got too expensive, and it just, you know, like I said, you know, for the kind of work I like to do, I kind of burned all my bridges because I hurt people, you know? And, you know, what can you say, you know?
If they were your friends in the first place, they would have understood.
True. Very true.
You know, there was
very
a lot of
true.
Stuff. You know, the guy we were talking about his birthday today, there was a lot of stuff said about him that nobody said to his face. They had to wait till he died to say it.
Yeah.
And they wondered why people were telling him, you guys are fucked up.
Let's put it this way. There was a RIP sticker peeled off a truck, my daughter's truck. I'm just going to say it. RIP sticker was peeled off my daughter's truck. And, you know, I honestly could tell you that if I was in that town, you know, that there'd have been definitely another case against me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say. You know what I mean? And this is supposed to be from one of his bros, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of shitty. You know what I mean? It'd be the same as if, you know, like you and Bill are friends forever. You can imagine if Bill passed away and, you know what I mean, and you had to put up something, you know, for you to remember him, you know what I mean, plaster it on your car or something like that. Some dumbass came by and just started scraping it off with a knife.
Yeah.
You know, how would you handle that?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, there's people that tell Bill, hey, that guy's arrogant. He's got big balls for a little fucker. And I'm, you know me, I'm 5'8". I don't take shit from nobody. And if you got an, and when Bill, this guy was the president of a, when Bill told me this, I walked up to that motherfucker, come with me, don't call, come talk to me.
Yeah.
And he didn't say a word. He went out the door, got on his bike, and left. And I seen him.
Yeah, I might not win them all, but I'm going to make sure they know I was there. That's all I got to say.
That's it. Usually I tell them after we start swinging and shit, usually I tell them, stick around. My turn's coming.
No. Fucking A, man. Yeah, brother, I miss you, man. I wished I'd be a lot closer, you know, if the situation was different or I had some way of, you know, getting back and forth so I could visit.
Things are working for you now. You're in the best place can be.
Yeah. No, life is cheap. You know, the views here are amazing. The hikes, the I don't know, it's all treasure basically for me, man, because this is something like I've never, like, walked up on a moose, man. I've never, you know, watched a mountain lion eat a deer, you know, catch a deer and eat it in front of my face. I mean, that kind of stuff happens out here. You know, I mean, it's hard to find that. And we were just talking about that the other day. We're like, you know, if I wanted to go hike somewhere beautiful and see some of the sites kind of like this, man, I'd have to do some serious driving. Here, I just get in my car and go 20 minutes up the road, man, and I can just get out of my car and climb up a mountain. You know what I mean? The views are spectacular. Jewel Basin, you know, I mean, Logan's Pass, the Highline Trail, those are all within an hour of me. You know what I mean? You got to take a vacation, man. I got a place for you to crash for a night or two, man. Come up here. Come see me.
Yeah.
I'll blow your fucking mind, dude.
I'm thinking I'm going to take off here, probably for a week or two, and that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. Dude, Yosemite's not too far from here. You know, Yosemite's a few hours away, but, you know what I mean? A place to be able to put your head at, you know what I mean, and go explore out here, bro, bring your bike. You'll have a fucking adventure. Bring a camera, because they're going to want to make sure you take pictures of this shit. You know? I got a baby crying in the background. I don't know if you guys are picking that up.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm a dad again. You know what I mean? That's a good thing. So that's also another determining factor for me to just kind of chill out and work, pay bills, and provide,
you know,
I guess would be the best way to put it.
I've been looking at the stuff you signed or post, and I think you're in the best... You're in the best place you could be.
Yeah, I think so. I had to drive 2,000 miles, but, you know, I found some place that's really cool, man.
That's okay.
Come see me, Bill. I'll try calling that Thursday, if I'm not too busy. I don't have to work Thursday night, so probably be a good time to call. Okay?
All right, man. Yeah.
All right, love you, man.
Love you, too.
Late.
Yeah,
I hope you didn't mind I stayed quiet. I just, it was, you know, between you guys, so
no,
it was cool.
Fine.
But it sounds awesome, though.
Good guy. He's, and then one of the pictures with the show, they got the three guys, me and Bill, and the third guy, he's the third guy.
One.
Where I'm wearing the beanie.
The one with... You in the middle, Bill on the one side, and the guy with the sunglasses on the other?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I don't know him personally, but I've seen him on people's pages out there.
Yeah, when went to an event, he came with us, and some people were saying, hey, who's that guy? The bodyguard.
but that was a good photo, though. He's got a sense of humor. I've seen his humor out there. He is a funny man. And that's the same one that just called in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Real good guy.
Nice. Like I said, you can't beat it. I mean, Montana? I didn't think Montana was 2,000 miles away from you. I mean, it's 2,000 miles from you to me. I don't know. That's weird.
He's just, he had a couple things happen to him, and
And one of them was because he was helping someone, and he got fucked for it.
You know, unfortunately, that happens a lot. There was, I don't know where, like, Dan Mateo is by you or in that state, because your guys' state is huge. Anyways, there's a guy that was on my page, like, for a long time, and he was doing, like, this. It was like a second, like a bucket list type thing, you know, riding his bike all around the stateside. And, but he became jobless and homeless. Well, there is a thing that I had him apply for over here because he didn't care what it was. He just needed work, you know what I mean? Had some money in savings to get him, you know, buy for a while. And so the job here was $23 an hour to start. Benefits, union, that kind of thing. And it was crazy. He was just on his way back your way, or out in your, back to your state, to do a couple of things before heading back out of there. And somewhere in Arizona, I think it was 110 or something, 101 highway or something, he was killed in an accident, freak accident. How crazy is that? And, but yeah, I talked to him like just 3 days before he died. And he's like, I put in the app, you know, because I told him, put my address in, because if he puts the California or something address, I ain't going to look at him. And, you know, but like I said, it was just weird. How weird is that? I was like, oh, man. That's what it is. I never say how long any of us are going to be here for.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Yeah, and that's why I was shocked when you said that there were jobs out there and that time. Well, maybe in the line of work that he was actually really wanting to look into, but he would have taken this one because it was not too many jobs start you out at $23 an hour and a raise every 3 months, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I didn't know your friend personally, but you know, he sounds really awesome.
Mhm.
And a little new baby. How cool is that? Babies are wonderful.
He's a good guy. He's a stand up dude.
That's what I've heard. Never heard anything bad.
No. He's one of them guys you could call up at 3 in the morning and tell him you broke down. And he'll say, where you at? I'll be right there.
Yeah, there's not many like that anymore. There isn't. Many people are self-centered and stuck on their own stupid. Makes me nuts. You know, and the ones that actually have the heart, that care, and that would be there, you know, that's who gets that knife in the back, or maybe not always right away, but it does come back, you know.
Well, that's like when he left, I thought of this song. Hold on.
Okay.
Here in my garage, just bought this. Young and
I always loved that song. Good song.
Yeah, it's a lot of meaning.
Yeah. No, it is.
But I think I'm going to roll out of here right now.
Okay. Well, thank you for the show. I
no
will
worries.
Be in there on Thursday and talk with you and Bill, and it is what it is.
All right, I'm going to let the animals stay.
Hang in there. Stay out of
the
trouble,
animals.
Will you?
The House of the Rising. See you guys later.
All right.